time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end? And where go the echoes of our laughter ringing the air? Oh, wherever the time goes, I will see you there. I will see you.
This is WHFR, Dearborn. We're getting a call now from the Farmers and Artisans Market. Just one moment. And Jay? All right. Okay. And we'll bring you the WHFR Journal. Jay?
Yes, here we go. It's WHFR Dearborn, and it's time for the new WHFR Journal. And this is a special live version from the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market out here at the Bryant Library parking lot in beautiful West Dearborn. No, it's not raining really yet. A couple little drippy, nothing like the last couple of days. All the vendors are pretty much still up here and selling their wares, and they'll be out here until 2 o'clock. So still time to get a little lunch or food for the weekend. Strawberries are big today. We have
okay, we'll be with you shortly. In the meantime, I'll play a little Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Hello, young lovers, whoever you are, I hope your troubles are few. All my good wishes go with you tonight. I've been in love like you. Be brave, young lovers, and follow your star. You be brave and faithful and true. And cling very closely to each other tonight.
We'll now rejoin the WHFR Journal. Okay, Jay?
Okay, thanks very much, Joe. Well, my broadcasts are a lot of fun because you never know. And I think it was our high-energy general manager, Susan McGraw, that shorted the circuit here. But she's a radio person. She understands when we have these setbacks. But you're also... Your day job is full-time professor in the communications division, and you are now, let's get the exact title, it's academic coordinator for telecommunication and journalism.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Why, thank you. Happy to be here.
I had no idea you had a big title that long.
It just gets
longer and longer.
Apparently it does, and the job keeps getting bigger and bigger, and that's a good thing because it's all really very much related. So we've been talking for years at Henry Ford College about how we can intertwine the journalism course courses and telecommunication, because there is a little bit of overlap, as we know. We do broadcast journalism in telecom, mm-hmm. as well as media writing and those types of things. But the traditional print journalism component is something that we haven't typically gotten into in the telecom area. But now, as the industry continues to change and modify itself with technology, journalism, traditional journalism, really doesn't even exist anymore. It is so technically grounded these days. The typical, you know, print journalist also has to be able to record interviews. They have to be able to use a camera and capture little, you know, video bites for website uploading and so on, not to mention just great writing.
It's all sort of multimedia
really
in the old-fashioned term.
Well, it really is.
You have to be a journalist for radio and TV and print, but print means on the internet, on websites,
mm-hmm.
and
blogging,
Facebook,
so
and
on,
Twitter,
right.
tweeting, or whatever. So there's all these ways to go. And, of course, the journalism component is essential to people that also might want to go into public relations,
yes,
too.
Absolutely.
You've got to know all the media and all the writing formats in order to be a good, effective person in public relations, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, and I'm proud to say, since I was previously involved in it, we have a program that actually has more sections at the introductory first 2 year level than Wayne State University does in their telecommunication related classes.
Mm-hmm.
They have more junior and senior,
sure.
and graduate, of course, and there's a fine program because Susan and myself both graduated from there, as well as Laura, who is our operations
right.
manager. So we know their program, and it's a fine local program among several in Michigan. That's
right.
another great thing about the telecom program is the transferability. It's
yes.
it's a hallmark of Henry Ford College, of course, too.
Well, no doubt about it. And you mentioned Wayne State. We do have so many students that choose to transfer over to Wayne or U of M or Eastern or Central, really depending on what sort of specialty they want to branch into, if they already know. If they don't,
mm-hmm.
it seems like maybe U of M, maybe Wayne State is a logical choice. But our courses transfer very nicely, and
mm-hmm.
we're very proud of that. Something new this year, well, actually two new things. We're talking about what's new in telecom.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually new to the whole college, and perhaps Leslie mentioned this earlier, but, you know, courses are guaranteed beginning in the fall, meaning if it's on the books, it's going to run.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there are lots of schools that try to eke in that extra section or two or three sections, and then if they don't get enough enrollment, they yank it at the last minute, which can be a challenge to students trying to plan out their next year of education. So
mm-hmm.
at Henry Ford, it's a new guarantee that says if it's there, it's going to run depending, you
yeah,
know,
because a lot of people were
nothing.
In previous years, were sometimes if they were enrolling later, they were a little antsy or a little uncertain about being enrolling in a class that may only have 8 or 10
mm-hmm.
people in it. But of course, if a lot of people are uncertain, then that section wouldn't run.
Well,
unfortunately, even though if they weren't uncertain, they just took it, it would run. So now
true.
The college has this wonderful approach where if it is on the books, as you say, if it can be enrolled in, that class you know is going to happen.
It's a guarantee, yes.
Yeah.
We've had waiting lists for a few years now, which have proven to be helpful, at least on the faculty side, because we can see when a class is, you know, when there's like 3, 4, 5 people waiting to get in, that's when we know to open a new section, and even
yeah.
that new section will then be guaranteed to run, which is very exciting. The other new component in the telecommunication area, Jay, and I think you'll appreciate this, is just we have gone a little bit shopping crazy. You know, us girls, we like to shop, and I did a little bit of that before the end of the winter school year. So we have some really fun new gadgetry to play with, as well as some software upgrades, great equipment, recording devices, video units. We've tweaked up the labs. We're putting RAM in the computers.
Well, that's the cost of the program. We have to keep this up to date with marketable skills, as they say. And I know that the studio TV cameras
mm-hmm.
needed a little updating,
mm-hmm.
But you're always try to be on the, if not the bleeding edge, the cutting edge of what is being used in the industry.
Well, yes, but not only are we using them in the classroom, but I am so excited that we have built up a student checkout library of equipment
mm-hmm.
where students actually get to take the stuff out, use it, test it, play with it, record stuff, bring it back in, edit it on our computers and so on. So they're not just looking at something in a classroom for a demo. They physically, literally are getting hands-on.
Right.
And, of course, that's on the production end of things. Now, certainly in theory, we have the traditional, important history and theory components of coursework, which is almost my favorite, I'll be honest with you.
Well,
I think
you do a lot of the film history classes.
Love that kind of stuff, and just the concept of media literacy and so on. So we try to incorporate that into everything we're doing. But the college is so supportive of our program, and we are so thankful and grateful to our administration as well as our Board of Trustees for continuing to see what a value this program is at the college.
And there's many so-called, as it used to be called at the turn of this last century, 21st century programs at Henry Ford Community College. A lot of them involve technology, and yes, they involve they have to involve the equipment and facilities in order to train people. Real hands-on stuff too. I mean, you can't just take it out of books alone. And we have those facilities. Let's not forget about the radio station.
Yep, I was just going to say that.
You know about that because besides her full-time job heading telecom and journalism at the college, Susan McGraw is our general manager at WHFR. I'm merely a station advisor. I just have opinions, and they don't have to listen. Sometimes they do, though. Thank God. WHFR, what's the next one or two big things?
We have,
other than being here live in the middle of a little bit of an increasing rainstorm here.
Yeah,
always fun.
Leslie's got a, I hope you have watered chestnuts in that salad to go with the water that's coming down on it there.
Leslie is an enrollment development representative here at our Hawk tent.
It's all good.
Our program director, Mark Hall, has joined us.
That's
welcome.
Right. Welcome. Very good. Well, what's going on at WHFR? Ongoing, of course, is great quality programming like what you're enjoying today. In addition, we have the very exciting World Music Festival Concert of Colors coming up, taking place at the Max Fisher Music Center. That is the second weekend in July, and we will be broadcasting live from the Music Box stage as we have for several years. We are a media partner with the Concert of Colors free World Music Fest event. That is fantastic. We certainly encourage you to come down, and if you can't make it, pop it on the radio station, and we'll be providing great programs.
That's always such a fantastic group of concerts. Mm-hmm. Again, three stages, no waiting, two inside the beautiful Maxim Fisher Center, and, of course, one of those stages inside is the Orchestra Hall,
mm-hmm.
where
the
symphony
one.
Performs. In fact, the symphony will be performing with blues diva Thornetta Davis on Sunday, even, in that huge, wonderful auditorium. And one of my crazy indie rock favorites from the 60s, Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks, are still around. I know it's a crazy name, and most people may not know about Dan Hicks, but they're going to be down there. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to meeting all of our listeners, too. Mm-hmm. We'll have a table in the lobby, as well as, of course, our broadcast facility table in the diversity stage.
Yep, and that's the 12th and 13th.
12th and 13th of July. From the music starts about 2 o'clock. We'll be down there when the doors open at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday and Sunday, going with the broadcast all the way until 9 or 10 at night, depending on how many encores there are.
And just a couple of weeks after that, we move right back down near where we are now to the wonderful Ford Field in Dearborn and enjoy homecoming weekend, the first full weekend of August. So we encourage you to celebrate all the wonderful things Dearborn has to offer with the homecoming festival, as well as, of course, by popular demand, our WHFR CD donation tent. We're also going to do some extra vinyl this year, I understand. So there will be some treasures.
Mini record show, which is a big show we've started annually, and that'll be in October. More about that later.
Yeah.
We'll have our blue and white WHFR logo tent at homecoming, usually right across from the big carnival setup. So it's easy to find walking up Monroe Street to Dearborn's Ford Field. Can't miss WHFR. So
we look forward to it. It's going to be a wonderful summer, and we are just thankful for all of our wonderful listeners and friends for their continued support, and our wonderful staff of volunteers and officers for every great thing that they're doing as well.
Let me remind our listeners, we're starting an electronic newsletter, hopefully on a monthly basis, and the first issue might be ready to go out next week. Again, folks, we've sort of cobbled together all of this with volunteer support, and we would like your help to receive the newsletter and tell us how it looks and what you think should be in it. You can sign up for our WHFR monthly electronic newsletter at WHFR.FM, our website. It's off to the left of the homepage, and just put your address in there, and you can unsubscribe at any time if you want to, but we're just starting the first one because our printed information is always a little bit old by the time we get it out. And it's very wonderful because we can tell you about all the things we've already done, but it's hard to talk about what's coming up in any detail because it takes 2-3 weeks to get it printed and then sent out. So we're still going to have some print materials, of course, and we'll be handing some out at the Concert of Colors and also at Homecoming, but the electronic newsletter will become our main way to distribute information to our listeners and others. But we need your email. So no spam. We won't sell it to anybody. Oh, we could make a profit maybe. Well, no, we're a nonprofit station.
Absolutely.
Can't do that.
And a news flash, just for everyone, we have the newsletter ready to go, and I'm told that it is going out by the end of this weekend.
Okay, so get your email in there, whfr.fm, sign up for our electronic newsletter.
Yep, and I actually see it sort of as a reminder to go to our website, because there will be a link to our website, so you can always check out the latest and most current information about WHFR at that same email address, or website, whfr.fm. But
of course,
jump in and get that newsletter and let us know what you think.
Well, thank you for your time today, General Manager. I had to let her in the show, right, John? I mean, I had to.
Thanks,
but maybe you have an umbrella to run to your car now?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you so much.
It's still just dripping. It didn't really, it was got a little gusty for a while, folks. But the weather out here is good. The vendors are not closing up. One or two have, but there's still more than a dozen. And a lot of great fresh vegetables and food. I'll tell you, this tent has been using food from everywhere. Where did that come from, Leslie? Oh, okay. I won't mention that. She went to a local restaurant, but they're all around here, too. So we're having a great time. I know earlier a couple of our volunteers were eating wraps, sandwich wraps from some of the vendors. And, John, you brought some cookies from the One Bakery, chocolate chip, and I got some apple fritters,
apple
one of my
fritters.
Favorite ones from another vendor here that comes every year. So be sure to remember every Friday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., Bryan Public Library in West Dearborn, the wonderful Dearborn Farmers and Artists Market. And that's going to continue all the way through October, and it's some place to scoot by. Now, the food truck rally is going to start next week Friday. Go for about 4 Fridays in a row, and then skip a few weeks and then be back. I think it's the third week in August. But food truck rallies will be right here also, but they won't start on Fridays until 5 p.m. They'll go to 9 p.m. So a little dinner time food, walking and talking. And I think they're going to be some concerts right here at the what's called the Muirhead Plaza, which is just right next to the Bryan Public Library. And so you can enjoy free music concerts. And keep going back and forth to the food trucks. And be a great evening, you know.
Yes.
Fun in the sun. And, yes, there's got to be more sun. I'm joined here now, of course, by our WHO News Director, John Conroy, who's frequently my co-host on Fridays. And let's see, I was going to say something else about what's coming up here. Let's go to the news, John. What the heck?
Okay.
Do you have something? What's happening downriver? John is a resident of beautiful Grosse Isle. Or is it Grosse Isle?
Grosse Isle.
Grosse Isle.
Yep.
But there aren't really any eels.
No, but it is pronounced Grosse Isle.
That's right, French.
We started our Grosse Isle Riverfront Concert Series last night.
Oh, that's a free concert series,
free
right?
Free concert.
Where is that held?
It's at Water's Edge Municipal Marina, right on the Detroit River. And we started off with a band called Looking Back, which is a Bob Seger tribute band.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be around town other places this summer, too. Yeah.
They were terrific.
And you caught it, of course. Yeah.
I was there for the entire concert. And you can catch them on www.tributeseger.com.
Okay. Okay. So that's going to be
every Friday? Thursday?
Thursday.
Pretty much.
Thursday, afternoon,
for the
evening.
The week of the 4th.
Okay. All right.
There's also a concert series in Taylor called the Summer Concert Series, appropriately enough. Wednesdays, 6 to 8:30, in the garden at the Taylor Conservatory.
Right. We talked about that last week. It's interesting to me that all of these free concerts seem to be on different days of the week. So if you got the time, every night you can go to another free concert at one city or the other.
There's some kind of music Great. Going on all through all through the area. Now, there is, I believe, a $5 minimal charge for going and seeing a concert there.
Well, the one in Taylor, yes. But it's the conservatory, so there's all these beautiful flowers, too.
For certain, yes. Yeah. I just wanted to plug the our great international buffet.
Yes.
Speaking of food.
John is our gourmet dining expert here, reporter, and you were at the buffet yesterday, the international buffet yesterday. What was that theme?
Well, that was a theme from a lot of different countries in Europe. Russia, Poland, I think Czechoslovakia. We had some crepes from Czechoslovakia. And you couldn't go wrong. No matter what you ate, you were eating something fantastic.
Oh, my goodness.
There was Spätzle, I think, from Germany that was out of sight. I've been to actually all five of the
I know you
buffets.
Have. Yeah, you always come and make me very hungry when you tell me what you've eaten.
It's been very good.
But next week is the last one.
Next week is the last one, and it starts at an earlier time, at 10:30 instead of 11.
Okay.
Because they are going to be featuring Eggs Benedict and Huevos Rancheros.
So Huevos.
Rancheros.
I don't know my Spanish. I mean, it's probably wrong, too. But, yeah, it's going to be sort of a brunch
A brunch and,
theme.
And lunch buffet. Okay.
Some of the entrees are brunch-like. So if you don't get up till 9 o'clock, folks, just come on over for your breakfast lunch at the 5101 Restaurant Student Center. Main campus, Henry Ford Community College.
For a charge of $14, you simply can't go wrong.
Yep.
I mean, you eat enough.
It's a buffet. You go back for seconds if you want.
And I've learned the art of this. You have a little bit of each beautiful tasting thing, and you won't overeat, and you'll be able to sample all the different wonderful things they have.
And then go back for the really good stuff.
And then at the end, you still have
your preferences. Yeah.
To go for the dessert.
Good.
That's true.
Yeah, so and, that's the last one, and that's 10:30 to 1.
1 o'clock, that's correct. Yep.
Reservation's not needed, but recommended, and you can link to 5101 Restaurant by just searching for that on the Internet. Their information is also, of course, at the Henry Ford College website, which still is hfcc.edu.
That's right, yep.
It's going to take a long time before we can get that extra C out of there.
That's
it's a lot of... addresses on the Internet are already taken. Like hfc.edu is already taken.
New brands. We'll have to just get used to new brand name.
Yeah, no problem.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks for that update.
You're welcome.
Looking at some of the news here in the last week, and Dearborn Press and Guide from last Sunday, and I do have a little complaint. Press and Guide, they have a really tough time keeping subscriptions going because... They don't have carriers. They don't have people to help deliver the papers. And they're based in Southgate now, not Dearborn.
Yes.
They have, it's a sort of a general office that provides the Press and Guide type papers for all the different areas, sometimes renamed slightly. So the woman who is in charge of circulation, sometimes she makes special trips on Sunday or Wednesday to my house just to throw my paper on the porch, and I really appreciate that, but she didn't make it yesterday or today or this morning before I left, so I don't have the Press and Guide from Wednesday, but I did go to their website, which is pressandguide.com. Yeah, that's free, but you really should subscribe, folks, and support the effort of newspapers locally. But last Sunday, just a couple stories. One is that the Dearborn school officials talking budget for next year. Katie Hetrick, the Press and Guide reporter, is saying that the schools are hoping for more money next year, but projects its fund balance will still fall. And it says all the numbers are very tentative until the district knows more about what the state would do with school funding. That's always the case, is that our state legislature adjourns for the year. They're gone for like 3-4 months now, and yet I thought we had a full-time legislature, but we don't really. About 3 months a year, 2 months in the summer and then other vacation time, they don't do anything. They're not there. They're not talking. They're not in committee. They're not there. In fact, I understand that they try to do all their legislative sessions on Monday through Thursday. So, in fact, they're almost never there on Fridays. Now, they could be having meetings or going to certain restaurants or whatever in Lansing if they're there. A lot of their people drive back to their home districts. They have to rent an apartment there if they're not close enough to drive in every day to be a legislator to Lansing. But even if they keep a little apartment for Monday through Thursday, they want to go back to their district and maybe where their families are for the weekend. So, in fact, our full-time legislature is almost never there on Fridays. They never do any business on Fridays unless it's an emergency session. But, you know, as we've talked before, you know, here and many people have commented on the media in Detroit, the roads are a crisis.
Yes.
And we still don't have money for them, and they just don't care. They, well, here's another couple hundred million, and, you know, well, as Governor Snyder has said, we need $1.2 billion every year for 10 years just to catch up on all the roads and bridges that need to be reconstructed and completely, almost completely rebuilt.
Yes.
Now, in Dearborn, I mentioned last week, roads in my neighborhood are a mess, and that's the city of Dearborn.
Yes.
That's got to do that. So, and then some roads are Wayne County roads, and that's not part of this $1.2 billion, folks. It's got to come out of Wayne County money and taxes to Wayne County, or the city of Dearborn. We've got a lot of roads that are just falling apart in the residential areas. It sure does slow the cars down, though, I'll tell you. You know, you got to stick to 25. Well, you can't go over 20 or your wheels will blow or your axles will break. I mean, that's how bad it is on some of the Dearborn roads. So,
In theory, fewer speeding tickets. However, I did get a speeding ticket just recently on the Southfield Road. So
he was speeding to get to the station,
I was.
To do his job, his volunteer job. Well, just for information about Dearborn, you know, we do have almost 20,000 students in the K-12 system. And we're budgeting for a few more next year, too. So we're one of few cities, certainly in the Metro Detroit area, that's gaining population. We have all kinds of population growth in Dearborn, which means we're a thriving community. People like living here and having families here, which is a wonderful thing for Dearborn. And our population's growing up, so our schools have to be fixed up and even expanded at times. By the way, the budget for the K-12, oh my goodness, the district's budget, they think, will be $181 million just for Dearborn K-12 budget. We're not talking about Henry Ford College here, okay? That's a separate budget. And the additional money, if they get it from the state, would be spent mostly on more teachers. Of course, more students, got to have more teachers. You can't have 50 students per teacher. That wouldn't work. As it is, we have 30-plus, I think, in Dearborn, although we're doing better than Southfield, where my daughter teaches. She just got her scheduled for next year. She will have 35-plus in every class starting in the fall. So that's not conducive to good education. Believe me, as a teacher, it's almost impossible, especially, well, she teaches the 7th grade level. It's hard to keep sometimes the attention of people in the lower grades if you don't have a smaller group, and you can talk to individual students and find out where they're coming from and so on. So
she must tell you, middle schoolers are quite a challenge.
Yes, always. Very important, of course. It's that sort of transition between being a kid and starting to be a more mature young adult.
We hope.
Yeah. Well, that's always the hope.
Yes.
Here's an interesting story also, and it's only two stories I found in last Sunday's paper that I wanted to share with you. A lot of them we've covered already on this show. Remember, all of the WHFR Journal shows are archived at WHFR.fm. Click on Talk Shows, and then click on WHFR Journal, and then pick the appropriate date. I think we go back 7 years on the site.
Wow.
So talk about old news. But David Kanisek, who is the current representative to Lansing from Dearborn Heights, he introduced a House bill a week ago Thursday that would provide election administrators, people who oversee our, you know, primaries and main elections. It would allow these election administrators with the tools they need to hold elections by mail. Okay? And you say, well, here's what Kanisek says. He says, it takes an innovative approach to encouraging more participation among the electorate, saves our local communities money, and dramatically improves administrative efficiency. Yeah, just a little election I know they had in Dearborn Heights a while back. Just a single issue or one race that had to be figured out, you know, between the major elections.
Right.
It cost them $20,000. It cost the city $20,000 to have poll workers and get the machines. They had to rent the machines, I believe.
All the administrative costs.
And right. Yeah. And of course, it's a lot of extra work for people that are full-time over there already, you know, the clerk office. And so it takes them away from other stuff they could be doing for
added
the city.
Added pressure to the regular folk. Yep.
Right. So he's introduced this bill, HB 5693, and it would provide the Michigan Secretary of State's office and local clerks with the necessary legislative framework to allow for elections by mail if the local election administrator chooses. So it's not forcing them on all the local communities. But if you want to do it this way, and I would think especially for some of the smaller races that have to happen, like, let's say, filling a job where there was someone who maybe passed away or decided to resign in the mid-year or something, and you have to fill that post, well, you could do it maybe this way. And you say, well, nobody does it that way. There's going to be all kinds of chances for abuse.
Yes.
You know, well, okay. And Kinesic says that this bill includes, he knows that the most important aspect is that it goes to great lengths to secure the validity of our elections. He says it includes important language allowing the Michigan Secretary of State to set up new rules so that the new tool can be put to best use. And by the way, folks, here in Michigan, yeah, we don't do any elections by mail. But there's 17 other states, 17 other states out of 50 that are already doing it, some form of election by mail. So there's a lot of knowledge and information available about how to best implement this. So we wouldn't be the first. The bleeding edge or whatever you might call that kind of innovation. Where the states are doing it right now, primarily Washington, Oregon, and Colorado, statewide.
Okay.
And they all think it's very much a benefit. Now, of course, here comes the opinion, and you want to do the qualifier, John?
I've got that qualifier.
He's got it written down, so I'll wait until he finds it here. I've
yes.
got an opinion coming.
The opinions expressed by the hosts on this show are not necessarily those of anyone else's at Henry Ford College or WHFR.
Right.
We certainly encourage free will thinking, alternative views, etc., from the folks that call in or the folks that are we've been interviewing.
Absolutely, yeah.
But we want to make sure that we let you know that we are not representing the opinions from the
No one told us what to say or what not to say, so we're really in trouble. We have to go with our own ideas.
We have to be a little bit...
That's right. And it's not just the guest, it's not just the host, but it's also the guest. So all opinions on this show are not necessarily those of the college.
That's
okay.
Correct. Yep.
Well, here's my opinion about Dave Kinesic's bill. I'm all in favor of that because it allows one way, and there's many ways, to increase participation in the elections.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And our participation rate here in the United States and Michigan is extremely low. Is it a good democracy if people don't vote?
No.
Of course not. Now, of course, you want informed voters.
Mm-hmm.
You want people that have some knowledge about who and what they're voting for so that we can have the best results from the elections, the best candidates elected, the best proposals passed, and so on. But the first thing is getting over the problem of people not voting. The first problem, of course, is a national problem. What are these elections why are these elections being done on Tuesdays?
Yes.
That's a work day.
That's a work day.
It still is a work day. Even some people are out of work, but it's still a work day. It's Sunday in Australia.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. In Australia, they get over 95% participation. Almost sounds like a Soviet country or something. But no, and the way they do it, it's against the law to not vote.
Wow.
It's against the law. There's a minor misdemeanor charge or whatever, a ticket you have to pay, unless you vote. And they know who votes and who doesn't.
Wow.
So if you don't vote, you're actually committing a minor civil offense.
Yeah.
Well, it could be a civil offense, not
okay.
a crime, but
all right.
but it's definitely probably a civil infraction. It's like here in Dearborn, if you don't cut your grass,
right?
And they charge you the first time, they give you a warning, but if you don't cut that grass, the first step is the civil infraction, which is $100.
Civil disobedience, okay.
But if you don't do it, a second time in 2 years. It's a misdemeanor crime.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take care of your grass.
I don't know when it becomes a felony, but yeah. So there are ways that other countries around the world, all nice, wonderful countries, have made voting in elections in their democracies more available to everyone, depending on your situation. Some people have mobility problems, can't get to the polling place. Some people have jobs that go 14 hours, God bless them. Somebody has a job and a day, and they can't get the polling place. Getting the absentee ballot is a little bit of a hassle.
Yeah.
You can always do that, but you got to plan ahead a little bit. So we'll give you more information about that. You mentioned to me that the deadline is coming up for the for registering. If you're not registered to vote, you have to do so 30 days before the upcoming election. And the next election is August 5th. So
right. August 5th primary, so we need to be registered by July the 7th.
Right. And why is it the 7th? It's because 4th of July comes up, so the city clerk offices are closed next Friday.
So they have to leave a couple extra days
By the way, we'll still be doing the Journal Show live. So if you're in town, folks, tune us in again. And so if it comes on the weekend or closed days, they always give an extension to the next open day, which will be Monday, July 7th.
Okay.
So it's normally a full 30 days in advance, but if it happens, if that day, like the day would be July 5th, which is a Saturday, it goes and bumps all the way ahead to that Monday. So if you know anyone that's not registered to vote, you only have to do it once, unless you move to another city, but once and you're good for your whole life. So and people say, well, I don't really think I want to vote. There's never anyone good. But what if you discover somebody fantastic that you want to vote for at the last minute?
Yes.
You know, a day before or maybe the day of the election. Too late. You're not registered.
As we
That's
learned,
right.
we had a candidates forum not too long ago at Henry Ford. And this election coming up for the primary, there are ten candidates for the Wayne County executive position.
Chief executive spot. Mm-hmm.
And so you should want to exercise your right to see who or to determine who will be the next Wayne County executive. So please, by July 7th, get registered and then exercise your right on August 5th.
As is often said, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And so you should always try to elect a candidate who can help with the issues of the day and maybe come up with some new answers even if needed. So,
and when it comes time for the general election in November, we will also publicize when you need to be registered by at that point.
So a little shout out here, Dave Kinesic, who's actually running himself in a primary in August. He's hoping to become senator from a district in that area, Dearborn Heights, Garden City, whatever. But his House bill was introduced, but of course they've adjourned now. So guess what? They may take it up in September, but who knows? And the problem is, folks, he's a Democrat. And that's not a problem for him. But the problem is the legislature, both houses, are controlled by Republicans.
Okay.
And if a Democrat has any idea at all that might be a good idea for the good of the people of the state, the Republicans still won't let them do it because they don't want any sort of credibility or positive spin to go to the Democrats. That's the kind of competition we have, yes, nationally, but also in our state legislature.
Mm-hmm.
So the hope for improving and expanding the opportunities for people to participate in our elections is probably doesn't have much of a chance. I'm sorry to say that, but if somebody's got to introduce the bill at least, get people talking about it, But the Republicans will not let that happen. Republicans nationwide in the various states have almost unanimously done things to reduce the number of people that can vote.
That's unfortunate.
Such as stopping early voting.
Uh-huh.
You know, like Texas had a plan where you could vote even a month in advance.
Yes.
There's a polling place open. You go and vote. Now, of course, a month in advance, you can go to your city clerk's office, fill out an absentee ballot right there at that moment.
It'll
But they have these extra polling places in these states where you can do early voting.
And New York is also one of those states.
Right.
You know? Yep.
Well, that's being undone in many states because it makes it too easy to vote. And, of course, checking voter rolls, requiring voter ID, a lot of people don't have a driver's license.
Driver's license, yeah.
They didn't get to the Secretary of State's office to get an ID card, which you can get that way, and it's an extra hassle or problem. And so all the initiatives I've heard from Republicans across the country are to limit voting. And even our Secretary of State here set up that voter ID thing, which is only optional now, but they still want it. They still ask for it when you go in to vote here in Michigan.
Right. Yeah.
Although it is optional, but if you say, I don't have one, I know I can vote without it, they say, yes, you can, but you've got to wait. Then you've got to fill out a different ballot, and it won't be counted
again.
Right away.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so it's a big hassle. You're treated like a third-rate citizen, practically. No thanks to, who is our Secretary of State, Terry Lynn Land. Yeah. But it's not her idea. It's all the Republicans. She's a Republican, but all the other Republicans in the legislature and our governor that has let this happen. So we should move towards making legal,
access.
Legitimate voting more possible for more people in the state, although I do think that nationally we should all switch to Sunday. Somebody got to work on Sunday. I know that, but then it's a weekend, a holiday, but I don't think we should make it a crime like it is in Australia. But
we should make it more accessible either way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to mention Dave Kinesic's bill to streamline the election process to allow voting by mail, and there's ways to do it. That other states have it, 17 states have it, and that would be, I think, a great thing to have in Michigan. Oh, well. The Times Herald, shifting to the Times Herald, 20 minutes to go before we hear Highway 61, the best in the blues with Joanne Kay, live from our indoor studios. By the way, weather report out here at the Bryant Public Library.
It's drying up.
It ain't going to rain no more.
It ain't going to rain no more.
That's enough, John. Okay. but some of the vendors, you know, in 20 minutes, the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market does officially close. So some of the vendors are closing up now. That little bit of sprinkle, not much rain, just a little sprinkle. Maybe it discouraged a few people from coming out here. It's too bad. So there's still some vendors open, and still a chance to get what you want.
Please come on out. There's,
yeah.
there's
20 minutes to go, though. That's it.
Very great things out here to purchase.
Yeah, and we've sampled a lot of them.
We took a good trend. I want to put a little plug in for the dill pickles that I sampled.
Oh, okay.
Very fine with and a little salsa and crackers. That was also very good. So you can't. You won't be wrong by trying different samples of items around this place.
No, and it's a lot of nice people around here, too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of food, well, this is beer, but the Times Herald reports that the microbrewery that we talked about was probably going to get going in West Dearborn has just passed another barrier or another door is open to allow them closer to a time of opening. Here's the story from it's been the Press and Guide and the Times Herald. There's a picture of the owners, John and Sheila Rosinski, and the place is going to be called Dearborn Brewing.
Oh.
Dearborn Brewing. And they are selling growlers and pint glasses with their logo on them, with their beer inside. Okay. And the first step, the hurdle that they've gone through among many, is when the Dearborn Planning Commission, a week ago Monday, approved a change of purpose for this area from retail to bar-restaurant. Apparently, the previous location on Michigan Avenue here in West Dearborn was a retail sales store of some sort. I'm not sure exactly where that was. And so it has now been approved that it can be a bar-restaurant. And so the people working on this, who have been the owners we mentioned, Rosinski's, I've been working on this since the summer of 2012. I do want to mention, because a lot of people got excited by hearing about microbrewery opening in Dearborn, this is not like the one in Royal Oak or Ann Arbor or other places. They're not having a full-service restaurant, okay? And
no full-service menu, eh?
No.
Okay.
It is for the drinking and sampling of their beers. And primarily they're hoping, then they will be having a grand opening when it opens. They'll have at least four different brews on hand, including an amber ale, an IPA, I don't know what that is, an IPA? John, I don't drink beer, so.
I don't either.
Sorry, folks. And another hop-rich ale and perhaps a wheat beer or Belgian ale, all brewed here. He wants to have at least 6 brews on tap at all times. And he says maybe in the fall they'll have something specialty like a pumpkin beer, and in the winter some kind of stout, you know, things and so on. And that should be fun, but they won't have a kitchen. So all you do is go there and drink the beer. And you say, well, it's just going to be a place, a bar? No, that's not exactly the idea. The idea is, especially for them, is to have vendors coming in from other bars, other restaurants in the local area, sampling the brew so that they can deliver to other bars and restaurants. So it's actually a sort of a distribution plan.
I was going to say, a distribution
plan. To increase their beer sales that they make right here in Dearborn. And that's why it's not going to be a full-service restaurant and brewery. Now, I think that's unfortunate. And maybe someday when they get rolling, they can either move or expand or something. Because a lot of these microbreweries, they have very good sandwiches, very good finger food. And they're open a wide range of hours. So I wish the Rosinski's well, but just so people are not confused here, it's not going to be a full-service restaurant.
Well, once they sell enough beers, perhaps they will.
That's what I said.
Go into the lunch.
Bigger and better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all good. Okay. Now we're jumping into some other stories that I've picked up on the Internet and elsewhere that I want to make comments about. Okay. And one is, let's see, where is my pack? Do you have my pack of stories, John?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
Yep.
Okay. One is, okay, we were talking about elections. Rick Haglund from MLive.com had a story that I'm going to try to find. I'll find it eventually. Okay. Well, here's a story. It's you know, Detroit is Auto City, right, supposedly?
The Motor City.
Right. Well, Associated Press just announced that a new car quality survey from the famous J.D. Power organization. Mm-hmm. They always survey owners of cars and trucks short-term and long-term on how good they are.
Yep.
And the most recent survey has ranked Porsche for the second year in a row as the best quality car.
Mm.
Now, I just have this to say. Porsche, of course, is a relatively expensive car. Their lowest priced cars are about $46,000, $48,000.
Yep.
But some people think, oh, Porsche, that's just their little two-seat sports cars.
Oh, no.
No, it used to be all they did. But now they make SUVs and sort of sports sedans. The SUVs, the big one, is called the Cayenne. That's a spicy car.
That sounds good.
And they have a small SUV now, but still $50,000, called the Macan.
The Macan.
Huh. Is that a type of bird?
Macaw.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, they also have, for about $80,000 or $90,000, a four-seat, four-door sedan called the Panamerica. Not Panamerica, but the Panamerica. It's a nonsense word, but you think they're saying Panamerica, but they're not.
They're saying okay. Panamerica.
Panamerica, one word.
Right.
Yeah. So, and those cars have got great ratings. But, you know, I often think that cars that cost $50,000 to $80,000 or more, the people say, oh, it's a great car, probably because they don't drive it much, because they can't pay for the insurance to drive it a lot, or the gas.
The gas.
Okay. Also because it's there's a principle called cognitive dissonance. If you pay that much money, you sort of forget about the little flaws. And you don't want to tell anybody that your car has flaws because you paid all that money. You'd look like an idiot, you know, a buffoon to go out and pay that money and then tell people about this problem or that problem.
Right,
now,
right.
Of course, a lot of these are fixed under warranty once you tell the people about it. But Porsche does make very fine cars if you can afford them. You say, well, what else are you going to say? Well, I'm going to give you a reading of the other quality cars from the J.D. Power list. But I also found this a little while back, that the first Porsche ever made, they found another copy of it. The first car, the first Porsche, was in 1898.
Oh,
that's almost the first car ever made, but it wasn't. The first Porsche in 1898, they found a complete car in an Austrian garage in storage.
Wow.
It had been in storage, they say, since 1902.
Wow.
Can you imagine having a car in your garage for over 100 years, 112 years?
Yeah.
Hey, I got that car in my garage, never drove it, except for 1900 to 1902. But anyway.
Might need the battery charge to get around.
Well,
you know, but
that's my point here. The first car that Porsche ever made was all electric. All electric. See how the cycle comes back
there
around?
There we go. Yeah.
All electric. And by the way, this first car is now in its in the Porsche Museum, which is in Stuttgart, Zuffenhausen, Germany. Stuttgart-Zuffenhausen,
okay.
Germany. Yep, all electric. Okay. Oh, okay, the quality. Well, who's number two on that quality list? Jaguar.
Ah, Jaguar.
Or is it Jaguar?
Jaguar.
You are Jaguar.
Paul W. Smith pronounces it Jaguar.
But again, expensive car. Lexus, expensive cars. Hyundai, number four, not expensive cars.
Okay.
From South Korea. You know, that's Hyundai.
Yes.
And so good for them. A lot of quality there. I think they have the longest warranty. I'm plugging everybody here. They have the longest warranty of any car sold in America. They stand behind their product for that long. And it looks like it might not be that hard to do if they have that kind of quality level to start with. Toyota, number five.
Okay.
Chevrolet, number six. And I had a few Chevys, excuse me, personal opinion here only, but
No, I've driven a Chevy my whole life, so.
Okay.
My whole
there you go.
Driving
a lot of people,
so.
It's their car. It is, you know, see the USA in a Chevrolet.
You bet.
Dinah Shore said that in the 50s, so. She sung it in the 50s. Number seven, though, another South Korean car manufacturer, the Kias.
Okay.
Kia,
K-I-A.
Right. Number eight, a car that I've owned three or four times. I loved them each time, BMW.
Okay.
Which is the largest selling German car in America.
BMW.
Probably because they have a factory in South Carolina that just
puts them out.
Puts them out like crazy.
The
yep.
Beamer.
Yep.
The Beamer.
Yep. Number nine, Honda. Number 10, moving up seven places, Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know there were any Lincoln cars left, but there are. And they've got some new ones coming out, the MKS, the
MKZ
is the new one. It's like a luxury, better-performing version of the Ford Escape.
Yes.
And 11 is Audi. And then 12, Chrysler, jumped up 4 places in the survey from last year.
Okay.
So Chrysler quality is improving, made in Detroit. 13, Cadillac. Then Mercedes-Benz. They dropped two spots.
Wow. Yeah.
But still pretty good. We're almost getting at the halfway point, so I'll stop. Number 15 is Volvo, which is made in Austria, even though it's a Swedish, thought of as a Swedish car,
right?
Except it's owned by a Chinese company, Geely.
Oh.
Out of Hong Kong, yeah. Who knows where these cars are and what they're... But it's a good car. I have never had one, but... number 16, but coming up 11 places. Yay, Ford.
Oh, yeah.
So Ford quality has really been improving, according to the J.D. Power survey of actual owners. And it's now above the halfway point. 17th, GMC trucks. 18th, Ram trucks, which is formerly the Dodge Ram.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just their own brand. And that's the halfway point. So I'm not going to go all the way down the list. Okay, I got to tell the worst quality, according to J.D. Power, of all the cars out there is Fiat.
Fiat, okay.
Yeah. And our program director is giggling there. Have you had a Fiat, Mark?
You know, it's funny because Chrysler moved up, but their owner is at the bottom.
Right,
the
yeah. The marquee, the brand that they started with, Fiat, which owns Chrysler now, it is Fiat-Chrysler company. The Fiat is down there. But, of course, there's not many dealers, and they're not really geared up to have a lot of Fiats. In fact, they just introduced the first local Fiat dealer is way the heck out in near Pontiac called Gowling. And they have now identified in the last week or so 4 more dealers in Michigan. But that Gowling Fiat way up by Pontiac, that's the closest one. So they really haven't had an effective dealer chain or even probably quality control for mass distribution. I mean, in Italy, hey, you're close to the factory.
Yeah.
You just drop it off on the front door and get a new one, you know. I mean, I don't know. But so they got a ways to come. I know Fiat's had a bad rep for years, and we're even out of the U.S. market for a while. But people buy them in Europe a lot. They don't have a problem over there. But I think it's because they can get the parts and get it fixed fast, because there's a lot of Fiat dealers throughout Europe.
There are.
Yeah. So, okay. Yes, there was a few celebrity endorsements that have helped visibility on TV, at least. I know they keep talking about their 4C Fiat sports car. Well, okay, Fiat owns Alfa Romeo, and I'm talking about the 4C Alfa Romeo. It's going to be $50,000, folks, sorry, but it's beautiful. It is the Jay Koronick most beautiful sports car. That's the award I've given them this year. And I'm sure that'll be reported in all the media very soon. Okay, that's the business report. We mentioned about the city of Dearborn, and the ordinance is now official. You better not have that tall grass. Your neighbors can turn you in, and they'll come out and with their measuring stick, and you can't do it many times. Yes, we want to mention we only have 5-6 minutes before we're going to go live with a Highway 61 show. The play at Henry Ford College started last night. It's the Neil Simon play, Fools. It's a comedy fantasy. Great fun for the whole family. Sort of a little social point there about a curse in this community that causes everybody to be stupid. And how are they going to break the curse?
How are we going to break that curse?
And it's the dilemma of a young teacher who arrives who's not stupid, at least at the outset. And so I think it'll be a great play. It's at the Adrey Auditorium.
Right. The Mackenzie Fine Arts Center, and it's going to be on, like we said, last night was the opening night, and it's going to be for the next 2 weekends.
Yeah, this weekend and next weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8 p.m., and Sundays only at 2 p.m.
Only at 2.
I think the ticket price for
$10
adults,
for
10,
adults and $8 with students with IDs.
Or seniors, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So put that on your list, folks, either this weekend or next weekend, the play Fools by Neil Simon at Henry Ford College, main campus, the Mackenzie Fine Arts Building, 8 o'clock, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and 2 p.m. on Sunday for the matinee. A couple more quickie stories that I have here, turning through my pages. Some big, long stories we don't have time for. Did you know in West Dearborn, where we're still broadcasting live from the Bryant Library parking lot, the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market is closing up as we approach 2 o'clock here, and we'll be closing up, too. It's great seeing a lot of our listeners out here and alumni from Henry Ford College. That West Dearborn parking pay stations, okay, in certain areas of West Dearborn now have customer assistance lines. Okay, they're trying these out down here in West Downtown Dearborn. 4 new higher-tech multi-space pay stations have the ability to contact customer service representatives by phone or email at any time to address parking questions or concerns. And these were installed back in May 19th, and they temporarily replaced the aging parking meters during this pilot project in parking lot H. H is south of West Village Drive between Monroe and Mason, so it's south of the Bryant Library here, south of Michigan. So that's kind of cool, but you be sure to bring your phone with you or your, I don't know, laptop or something to connect through Wi-Fi to get in touch with them. The multi-space pay stations can take payment via credit cards, coins, bills, smart cards, value cards, coupons, and pay by phone.
Pay by phone.
Oh, my goodness. So they'll get it one way or the other from you, I guess.
Yes.
If you want to park there. Well, we do want to remind people, yes, again, we talked about it earlier today in our breaks during the Big Band Show, and thanks to Joe Sullivan for being there in this station and allowing us those very informative interruptions to
yes.
his Big Band Show. Always a fantastic show every Friday, normally from 10 to noon, and Democracy Now! From noon to 1. Super Saturday at Henry Ford College. It provides new, returning, and current students fall enrollment convenience tomorrow, especially tomorrow. College is normally closed on the weekends, but if Saturday is good for you, tomorrow, June 21st, that's the big day, okay? And from 8 in the morning to 4:30, you come with various ID cards, driver's license, state ID, and you can enroll and be admitted too, but you can also enroll if you've already been admitted in the past very quickly for fall. And that's a special service, of course.
Get the jump on fall enrollment.
Great. Yep. And we do want to thank very much Christine Werner. Let her have your headset for a second.
Okay.
The new manager of the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market. Can you hear me good?
Yes, I can.
Okay, Christine. Just you can move up your microphone a little bit if you want there on your boom mic. Yeah, there you go. Oh, you're fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So how did you get the job, and how terrible is it?
Oh, man. Well,
Fridays are crazy for you because that's when we do the market. But.
Right. Oh, yeah. Fridays are fantastic. So,
mm-hmm. Do you work for the Chamber office or the City of Dearborn?
Yes. I work for the Chamber of Commerce,
right.
The Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, Wendy, is actually the vice president here.
Oh, it's in the family.
Oh, yeah. So she told me, hey,
that name sounded familiar.
Yeah. She said they have an opening up at the market. I think it'd be great for you, so I applied and got the job.
and what's the range of activities? Probably the first one is getting vendors.
Yes, yeah, that was huge. So last year we had about 20 vendors overall. I think is a lot of what people
getting
says.
To come each time.
Yes,
and sometimes
yes.
New vendors you
right.
try to
oh,
get
yeah.
into.
Oh yeah, we have a lot of new vendors this year. We have about 60 vendors on a rotating list every week, so
mm-hmm.
we get about 40 each week that come out to the market.
Wow, that's great, and
that's great.
Quite a lot today. I mean, I counted. I don't know if John thought there was. I said 16 to 18, but maybe it was 20 or more.
Yeah, there were 30 here today.
Yeah, because there's
yep.
more down on this walkway
yep.
up towards Michigan Avenue too.
Mm-hmm.
So 9 to 2, and you're not thinking of having any food trucks during this time, but they're going to start the food truck rally next week, I know, in the later afternoons.
Yeah, we do have food trucks coming a couple times every month.
Oh, okay.
So the Shimmy Shack was here the past 3 weeks at the market. Treat Dreams was here.
Okay.
Binky's Hot Dogs, they're here every week.
Binky's, yes.
Right.
Always
so
landmark.
They're just not here because Ford Land is doing a big food truck rally.
Oh, that's
week,
right.
So that's
they grabbed all the
of
food
them
trucks
are.
Right
yeah,
now.
There's
yeah.
like 10 of them over there.
I gotcha.
So we're going to have one or two come out.
Congratulations on the new job.
Thank
and hope you survive. No, it's
yeah.
a lot of fun
it's
working
fantastic.
With people, meeting people every day, and you're usually always here at the market sort of office tent that's
yep.
out there.
Mm-hmm.
And people can find out more by giving you their email address too on your website.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, definitely.
And that is Dearborn Farmers
Artisans
Market. There's no and though.
No, there's no and.
So it's
in
tricky.
There.
It's Dearborn Farmers plural.
Yep.
Artisans plural market. No spaces, .com.
Yep.
And there's
a
way.
We have a Facebook page, Twitter, Pinterest.
Oh, my
We're
gosh.
All over the place.
Oh, my gosh. That's wonderful. We're all connected, folks.
Oh,
so-